invite you to be seated. Do 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 do. Don't worry. Do 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 do. Be happy. Do 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 do. Don't worry. Be happy now. Does anybody remember that song? I'm not singing any more of it. Does anybody remember that? That song greatly annoyed me. Did it annoy anybody else? And that song has been in my head now for 2 weeks as I knew this passage was coming up. And so the passage that we have today that we're going to take a look at, this Luke 12, 22 to 34, is really a continuation of what we talked about last week, which was when Jesus was talking to the crowd of people about the rich fool. Do you remember that? The parable of the rich fool. He had been doing really well, and he decided he needed to build more and more barns to store his stuff, and then he could just sit back, eat, drink, and be merry, and put all his trust and security in his stuff. And so this is a continuation now of this passage. So let's take a look at that in Luke 12, beginning with verse 22. I have it on the screen for you. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" So an interesting thing here is that parable of the rich fool. When Jesus told that parable, he was talking to a big crowd of people. And now if you look at the very first verse I read, Jesus is focusing in on his disciples. In other words, he's going to explain to them what this parable that he just told, give them more insight, kind of like a commentary on what he had just said to the crowds. This is an example of Jesus discipling his disciples. He's preparing them to teach. When he has done all that he came to do and he ascends back into heaven, Jesus is training his disciples, which is a really cool thing. And so that's where we get all of this stuff, this commentary on what he just talked about with the rich fool. And in a nutshell here, Jesus says, do not be anxious. He puts it simply. Now, like I said during the confession absolution, this can be easier said than done, right? Now, this anxious thing isn't what we have now when some of us are diagnosed with anxiety. That's a different thing. This is really closely related to worrying. And we'll talk about that in a second. So I looked this up because a lot of times in this word, this Greek word that's translated here, is either translated worry or anxious. So I was wondering, well, what's the difference? Well, here's the definition of anxious. It's distress or uneasiness of mind caused by fear of danger or misfortune. Jesus tells us not to do it. He's pretty clear. Do not be anxious. Why? He gives a couple examples. He talks about the lilies of the field because these people were worried about their food and their clothing. He talks about how he takes care of the lilies of the field. And if he's going to do that, how much more will he take care of each and every one of us? He talks about the ravens, the birds. He takes care of them. They are fed. And if he takes care of birds, how much more will he take care of you? A couple great examples that Jesus gives us there. So let's go on here, verses 29 through 31. After he says, "O you of little faith, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you as well." So here's the definition of worry, by the way. So Jesus says here, do not worry. We should not worry, we should not be anxious. And here's the definition of worry. Give way to unease, allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. So how are you guys doing with that one? You know what's interesting to me? So the sermon that I'm giving on don't worry and don't be anxious, I've probably experienced more worry and anxiousness about this sermon than the past year's worth of sermons. Why is that? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy to not worry, to not be anxious about things. But Jesus is extremely clear. Don't do it. Don't do it. Instead, seek his kingdom. Instead of seeking after that stuff, seek him and his kingdom. And I love, again, how Jesus uses the name Father. The name that he calls his Father, we get to call him Father. Our Father knows that we need these things. So why worry? Why be anxious? So let's finish this up here, verses 32 through 34. Jesus continues, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. We don't need to live in fear because our Father has us in his care. It's as simple as that. And this is the point that Jesus is trying to make. He talks about using our stuff to help people. He talks about selling our possessions that we have extra of to help those that are needy. Not to put our trust and our find our security and comfort in the things of this world, which is what that rich fool that we talked about last week did. And just think about it for a second. How often, with the things of this world that we put our trust in, that we look to for security and comfort, how often do those things fail us? How often does that person that we thought we could trust fail us? How often does the money that we have saved, we thought we had, fail us? How often does this fail us? How often does that fail us? And Jesus tells us to seek after him and his kingdom, the thing that never fails. Jesus does not fail us, ever. So, this passage, just a quick recap here. Jesus tells us to not be anxious, to not worry, and to not live in fear. Simple, right? We shouldn't be obsessed with seeking more and more of the things of this world, adding to our stuff. So maybe you're saying, well, okay, Jesus, maybe I can do this. You know, after all, I do have food in the fridge. I do have clothes in my closet. Okay, maybe more than one closet. Maybe I have some stuff spilling over into my man cave. I have a house to live in. Maybe I can not worry, not be anxious, and live in fear. You know, but what happens if we don't have that stuff? Then what? So I got some questions for you here to ponder, to think about. Do you worry? Are you anxious? I'm raising my hand. Are you obsessed with the stuff of this world? Are you constantly seeking after things in this life to make yourself feel more secure and happier? And so what happens to your peace of mind when the things in your life don't happen the way you want them to happen? How does it go? Where does your peace of mind go? Do you worry then? Do you get anxious? Do you look to find security in the things of this world? So now realize this passage, Jesus is only talking about the necessities of life. He's talking about food and clothing. He's not talking about all the other stuff that we add to our lives to stress us out and to freak us out, right? Think about it for a second. He's just talking about the necessities of life. Food, clothing, shelter. In America, most of us don't have to worry about any of those things. But we add all kinds of other things that we do worry about and get anxious about. We worry about our jobs. We worry about how much money we make. We worry about our kids in school as they're getting ready to go to school. Are our kids going to be safe in school? We worry about our kids in the sports. Are they going to get enough playing time? We worry about paying for our kids to go to college. We worry about what's happening in our country. We worry about what's happening in our world. We worry about gas prices. We worry about food prices. We worry about interest rates. We worry about the stock market. We worry about this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Am I right? Jesus is clear again in this passage not to seek after these things like the world does. The world seeks after these things. But you know what? We Christians are called to be different. We're called to go against the flow. So how do we do this? Again, Jesus makes it simple and clear. Seek after his kingdom. Seek him. Or put Jesus number one in your life. Put him number one on the priority list. Instead of seeking out sales and lining up steak dinners through the year 2037 and lining our closets full of Calvin Klein and Tommy Hilfiger and all the other fancy stuff, we are to seek him and his kingdom. And you know what? The good news about this kingdom that brings us righteousness, that brings us peace, true peace that we'll never find on this earth. It gives us joy. This kingdom, it's no cost to you. Zip, nada. In the world where everything costs something, this costs us nothing. But wait a second, there actually was a cost. It cost our Father his one and only Son. You see, Jesus' sacrifice and shed blood purchased our redemption and saved us sinners with his life. That which we are to seek is already bought and paid for. Don't need to worry about it. Don't need to be anxious about it. Don't need to be afraid about it. Because it's the last point I have up on the screen here. Jesus would rather die in our place than spend eternity in heaven without us. Think about that for a second. He would rather die for you than to live without you in heaven. And you know what? All of what Jesus did for us frees us up. Just like that backpack demonstration, the backpack is off. We are freed up. We don't need to worry because Jesus has got our back. You know, there's one thing that really jumped out to me in this passage that I skipped out and I wanted to conclude with. The very beginning of verse 32, Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock." Do you know how comforting this is and what a great picture this is of our Savior with his flock? That's us. He's with us. He's got us. And there's nothing that is going to tear us away from Jesus. In fact, Romans 8 says it best here, and I'm going to close with this. And this is a passage that I've shared with people who are really struggling with different things. Maybe they just experienced a death, or maybe things are just going cruddy. Maybe they're just full of worries and anxiety and fear. And listen to what this says in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Will you please pray with me?